But Luke chapter 1, verses 31 to 33, famous in Scripture. You shall be with child and give birth to a son. Heard that part before? You are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great. He will be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Lord, I thank you that you came. I thank you that you are mighty, that you are indeed Son of the Most High, that you came to a small town, that you grew up committing no sin, that you surrendered yourself to sinful men. And they hung you on a cross. They mocked and spit at you. And you stayed there to pay for my sin. And I thank you that we can gather this morning, put a halt in our schedules, and put a focus on you, that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, 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 amen. Amen. Miss Lucy, thank you so much for helping us. A little round of applause for Miss Lucy. Little round of applause. Maybe a loud round of applause for Natty that is doing our translation work today. And if she falters, love her anyway, folks, especially if you are listening in Spanish. We're going to have some issues that we are dealing with this morning. But we're going to talk about the birth of Jesus. And you got one, bring it on up here. I'm not crackling anymore. Maybe I'm just not broadcasting anymore. You know how to check these, right? No. Maybe. There are those not lovers of the Lord who would tell you that this story that I read to you this morning is just a copy of some other stories that have gone around, that there are many stories of virgin births, and that there were indeed many virgin births, and that Christianity is just a copy. Has anybody heard that before? Anybody heard that? This is one. Egyptian god Horus. Egyptian god Horus. Son of Isis and Osiris. Some say that the name of Isis was indeed Mary, M-E-R-I, and she was indeed a virgin. We're told that the birth of Jesus is but a copy of this Egyptian fable, this Egyptian story that had been circulated for 5,000 years before Christ through the Book of the Dead. You can see they even had a mini-series on HBO. You can hear about it on CNN. I want to tell you about this story. Take various versions of the story and try to compile this birth narrative and try and hit Jesus. But the story as it goes is Osiris, the man, the male, this god was indeed chopped up by all the other gods. And his pieces were thrown into the Nile. And Isis, having great love for Osiris, gathered up all his parts and put them back together, and the only part, I'm going to tread carefully at this point, the only part that was missing was his reproductive organ. So she created one, fashioned one out of gold. And this is part of the story, but those who would say that this is a foreshadow of the story of Christ miss this part. In fact, there's hieroglyphics that show this gold piece. And in fact, Osiris Now track with me, folks. New ISIS. You know what I'm talking about? In the biblical way. And ISIS might very well have been a virgin prior to conception, but she was not a virgin after conception. What we read about today is the conception of our Lord without physical contact. That indeed Mary was a virgin when she gave birth, and she indeed is the only one. Amen? Amen. Now, perhaps stories like this trouble you. And if they trouble you, ask questions. You have questions about this? Come and ask me after service. Because as the more we dig into the message of God, and the more we dig into the gospel, the more truth we find. Can I get a witness on that? And the message of the title of the message today is indeed Digging for Truth. And we are going to mine the truths of the gospel today and find something good. Amen? Amen. All right, Tommy, I'm going to need those amens to turn up in volume. You seem to be a little weak, so I just have to carry the crowd from back there in the back. The reason for the season is indeed our Lord Jesus. Last week, we took a look at the visit that Gabriel made to Zechariah, who was working in the temple in Jerusalem. And Zechariah had been a priest his whole life. He was an old man. He was known in the temple. And he comes in and he does this thing. And he makes the message of the Old Testament a little bit more clear for us. And Pastor Paul is going to bring clarity and understanding of the message of the Old Testament as it is fulfilled in the birth narratives about our Lord Jesus Christ, that God indeed did put on skin, was born of a virgin, and came and lived among us. Amen? Amen. And so what happens, though, is those prophecies, and I'm so glad Pastor Paul is having this class, are rather veiled. And as we see Christ, everything brings clarity. What Gabriel is doing is bringing some clarity, greater clarity, to Zechariah, to Elizabeth, and now to Mary. And so what we see is God is coming near to his people and giving them an opportunity to grab on. And grabbing onto God is good. Can I get a witness on that? When he comes near, and you know what? He'll come by this morning. He'll come by this morning and come near to us, and you can indeed grab onto the message of Christ. Yes. And you can grab onto our Lord, and he will move you to someplace new. We're going to dig for some truth today. Aren't you glad you're here? Amen? Let's take a look. All right. Gabriel makes a visit. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee. We'll talk about that in a moment. To a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary, and the angel went to her and said, now this is the guy who scared Zechariah, the old priest in the temple. Oh, great fear. And so here's a young girl, and the angel appears to her and says, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. And Mary has been selected. Mary has been selected to participate in the plan of God. And Gabriel meets this young girl in the place, in the town of Nazareth. And indeed, Andrew says to, speaks in the Gospel of John, is there anything good that comes out of Nazareth? Because Nazareth was in the sticks. Nazareth was off the main trade routes. Nazareth was nobody went to Nazareth. You had to be wanting to go to Nazareth to get to Nazareth. You weren't just passing through. And last we saw how Zechariah visited, Gabriel visited Zechariah in the temple. And really, If God wanted to make a big splash, he could have just come, Gabriel had just had Gabriel just come strolling out of the temple at the time of prayer, at the time of sacrifice, maybe at Passover or Feast of Tabernacles, when everybody's there. And he comes blasting out, "Here I am." But he goes and he visits this girl in some out-of-the-way town. And she's some out-of-the-way girl. Not much of a girl. Nothing to stand out. But the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. You're sitting here today, and you feel like maybe you just grew up in a town in the sticks and that you're not much of a person. God still chooses the weak thing to confound the strong. Amen? She's betrothed to Joseph. She's engaged to Joseph. They entered into a contract. Their parents most likely would have put this together. Joseph's parents would have paid Mary's parents some money, and they would have a legally binding contract of betrothal that would not be consummated until they were married, and the marriage would not take place for several months to a year. And so Mary is betrothed to Joseph, and she gets a message from God. The Lord is with you. And the Lord is getting ready to make a move on this young girl and in this young girl's life. And maybe the Lord has made a move in your life. Anybody? Amen. Lord moves on Aaron Bugs in his shower. Yes. I see a hand from Dana. You know, Bible says, 2 Chronicles 16:9, the eyes of the Lord. The Lord is looking throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. And he chooses the weak to make them strong. He chooses the weak to join him, and he comes near, and you can grab on to God, and grabbing onto God is a good thing. Amen? Gabriel makes a visit. Mary was greatly troubled. I'll tell you what, God comes by and you get the opportunity to grab on, it might bring a little concern in your life. What is this going to be? Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. You will conceive and give birth to a son. See, Elizabeth had already conceived. She had spent 5 months in seclusion. She had grabbed onto, she's an old lady. How old do you figure old is, Sandra? Older than me and you, right? Yeah, you bet. You know it's older than me and you. Who knows how old? I guess we have to figure out how old Luke was to figure out how old he was talking about when he said that indeed Elizabeth was old, but she was old, too old to bear children, and she's bearing children. Now, how many of you have had children? Sam, you've had children, so you're close enough. I'm talking about you today. You ready to have another child today? Oh, no. Oh, no. See, God comes by Sandra, says, "You want to have a child?" She's got no already on her lips, right? Elizabeth said, "Yes." Now, how much, if you... You got pregnant today. How much is your world going to change, Sandra? It's going to change a lot. God came near to Elizabeth and she grabbed on, and you know what? She's celebrating that change. Question is when you grab on to God, are you going to let him, are you willing to allow him to make that change in you today? Because grabbing on to God is good, but grabbing on to God is often costly. Amen? Amen? Your relative is in her 6th month. Don't be afraid. Found favor with God. You'll conceive, give birth to a son. You're to call him Jesus. He will be great, mega. He will be great and be called Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. God is going to do something great in you, Mary. Mary's troubled. God comes to her, Sandra, she's going to be troubled. Especially at Christmas time, what? But he's coming back in the clouds. He's not coming back as a baby. Amen. He might ask you to blow a trumpet when the trumpet sounds. Amen. You got your lips already. Greatly troubled. She's troubled about what comes next. See, Mary, God is with you and, right? That and is the costly part. Can I get a witness on that? Amen. I am with you and I got a plan. And you know, God doesn't do small things. We can do small things. God does big things. Can I get a witness on that? Mary is troubled about what comes next. Would that trouble you? Are you ready for the Lord to step in your life and make changes? Can the Lord turn your life upside down? Some people got to think about it. You'll have a son, and he'll be king. He'll be called Son of the Most High. His kingdom shall never end, and his name will be Jesus. Great cost to Mary to say yes to this. Gabriel is laying down some serious theology here as well. He's quoting directly from Isaiah 7 in the Septuagint, which is a Greek translation made about 300 years before Christ of the Old Testament scriptures. And Gabriel's speaking of the coming Messiah and all the prophecies and the timing coming out of Daniel and all that stuff. Everybody's waiting on the Messiah. He'll be Son of the Most High. See, he describes what the Messiah is going to do. And then he describes who the Messiah is. And he describes the Messiah as being Son of the Most High, which is an escalation on who the Messiah is. Amen? One thing, we talk about digging for truth this morning, and Gabriel lays out some truth for us. And I want to let you know that God is bigger than you think he is. See, our problem is that we think God is small. He is so small that we think that we can fit him into our lives. As I left the house this morning, there are some things that I always have. One thing I always have is my wallet. I have my Social Security card in here that I got when I was 11. I have never lost my wallet. I always have my wallet. The other thing I always have, and my wife will say, "Where are my keys?" You know, I always have my keys. I have my phone, right? I always have my phone. And one thing that's a rather new, and I don't have, because it's in a computer, thumb drive. I got my thumb drive because I got to carry my data. I got 16 gigs of data that I got to have around with me all the time. It's actually over there, load the message, load all that stuff on it. Are you tracking with me? There are some things that you always have with you. Amen? When I became a Christian, always have my Bible. Don't go anywhere without Jesus. Amen? Going to take a little bit of Jesus along with me everywhere I go. Amen? And that's our problem. Because we think we can take Jesus anywhere. Wherever I go, Jesus is already there. Can I get a witness on that? Wherever I go, Jesus is taking me. And when I think that I can be so bold as to put Jesus in my back pocket and take him with me, I am taking an infinite God and putting him in a little box. And I've made Jesus small. small enough to fit into my plans. And I'm thinking Jesus just needs to grab onto me. Isn't that our prayers? Jesus, would you grab onto me today? Jesus, can you accomplish all these things I need you to do for me today? Am I the only one? I guess I am. Because our prayer should be, Jesus, what do you need me to do today? Jesus, how can I grab onto your plans today? How can I fit into you and your life today? So you grab onto God, it's a good thing. Grab onto God, there's a cost. Amen?
Amen.
Got quiet. All things are possible with God. She says, I don't see how this can happen. Wait a minute. How did I get here? Wow, that is in the wrong spot. Whew. Oh, no, that's right. Okay, here we go. My bad. It's a Spanish wording. Did you notice there's Spanish words up there? I just realized it. No, actually, I'm joking. All things are possible with God. I don't see how this will be, Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. I don't see how this works. You ever wonder how the Lord is going to work stuff out in your life? There's some big stuff that's coming at you, and you say, I just don't know how this is going to work out, Lord. Amen? All right, well, I got one amen there. You have good company, because Mary is saying to the angel Gabriel, I don't see how this is going to work, because I got other stuff going on. I am betrothed to Joseph. I'm going to get married, man. I'm picking out the dress. Going to get a witness on that, ladies. I got stuff. I got to pick out the flowers. I don't know what they did back in the day. They probably didn't do that. But we do that today. You want to ask a bride to change everything? Oh, no, it's carved in stone. Unless she wants to change, then it ain't going to be changed. How's this going to be? How can I fit this in? Mary says, I'm a virgin. I don't see how this works in my life. And God don't fit in your life. He is God Most High. He restructures your life.
Amen.
He fits you into Him.
That's right.
Not you fitting Him into you. And he says, Gabriel says, the Holy Spirit's going to do this. The Holy Spirit is the active agent of God as we walk around this earth. Worship team, did you hear that incredibly annoying music that was coming from across the street when you walked in?
Yes, sir.
Oh, you went to their house? Well, I went over there with some carne asada. And I looked and I said, do you live here? Yeah. I said, two packs of carne asada. I said, hey, I'm going to be preaching over there. Can you turn this thing down? He said, no problem. All you need is carne asada, Aaron. You can say, you know the guy brought you the carne asada? He was my friend. Yeah. Was it easier to get something done with sugar than salt or spice or something like that? Anyway, something like that. Holy Spirit's going to make this happen. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. The word here is epic. Roll with me on this, Natty. It's hard for me, too. I don't know why I'm drawing a blanket. Episkaizo. That is the same word. Episkaizo is the same word that Luke uses and the gospel writers use for the cloud that envelops Jesus and Moses and Elijah on the Mount of Transfiguration. Okay? And it's a different word. It's in Hebrew, but it's the same meaning where the glory of God descends on the temple. Right? And as the temple was dedicated, the glory of God was so thick in the temple that the priests could no longer minister. It's like, whoa! And he says, this is what's going to happen to you, Mary, that the power of God is going to overshadow you and you'll be with child. Nothing physical about it. It's just going to be a miracle from heaven.
Amen.
Amen? Mary's tripping. God comes to you this morning, makes you this offer. You could be tripping too. See, because God does miracles in Nazareth, and God does miracles in City Heights. And God does miracles for those whose hearts are focused upon Him. His eyes roam throughout the world, who He can strengthen. How does He strengthen us? Each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. So you come in here today, and God comes near, and He says, I got something for you, and you can choose to grab on, but if you grab on, there's a cost. And there are those who would avoid the cost. They don't grab on. And the real question, because some of you, the real question is, how long did it take you to grab? Because I know many of you have grabbed on. Question is, why the delay? You're like, well, it's going to cost me. Oh, yeah, it's going to cost. It will just cost you. Get a pen out, write this down. It will just cost you everything. Your life, your possessions, your children, your spouse, your future, your everything. But it's already gone. Because Jesus said, you try and keep it, you'll lose it. But if you lose it for me and for the gospel, I'll give you a brand new life. And many of you are living that life. I'm living that life. I'll tell you what, my life was on the skids, going nowhere, down to dissolve. And I said, Jesus, you can have my life because I've destroyed it. And Holy Spirit came in an instant. Amen? Holy Spirit's working in Nazareth. He's working right here this morning. Let's keep on going. The angel answered, the Holy Spirit will come on you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born to you will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be unable to conceive is celebrating. Is in her 6th month. For nothing, oh, I love this part, nothing is impossible with God. Amen? I am the Lord's servant, Mary said. She said, let me grab on. I am the Lord's servant, Mary answered. May your word be to me fulfilled. And the angel left her. Mary grabs on. Mary said, I'll take that deal. Mary says, I'll trade my life for this life to come. And God is faithful. You can bank on the promises of God. Nothing is impossible with God. Our problems come when we change God's priorities for ours. When we substitute our requests, James says, man, you don't get what you're asking for because all you care about is you. If you would ask me part of what he's got going on, oh, his eyes are looking, his ears are tuned in, and he will strengthen you. He will enable you. He will include you in his plan and you will be transformed forever. God comes near, you grab on. That's a good thing. But he'll turn your world upside down. Angel left her. She's got a promise. God's plan is to redeem his people. God's plan revolves around a redeemer. Expectation was high. Timing was right. Promises were there. Herod's people even knew Messiah was coming. And because of all this, Jewish women prayed to have a son, that perhaps they might give birth to a redeemer. She says, I'm the Lord's servant. Word there is doulos, means slave. I am the Lord's slave. I'm going to grab onto you, whatever the cost. And the cost was incredible. Take a look at Joseph next week. He was ready to put her away. Divorce this girl. She is pregnant. And it was not me. To be viewed with a premarital pregnancy in that day would get you killed. The attack of Herod focused trying to kill your child. Every boy 2 years old and under killed by the soldiers of Herod, and they fled to Egypt. And none of that even includes the cross. My wife weeps every time we look at the Passion, and there's the picture of Mary trying to embrace her son as he's carrying his cross to the point of crucifixion. The heart of a mother. Grabbing on to God is good, but grabbing on to God is costly. I saw you leave, Dana. I'm glad you came back. Dana works with me at the skate park. Wendy comes once a week, and Dana comes 4 times a week. She's been covering for George. George's foot's been messed up, and so she's been cooking. And she teaches on Wednesday nights. And I'll often give Dana a ride home. Now, Aaron works at the school. How far is that? No, but how far is that from here? Like 2 miles, mile and a half?
Yeah, about a mile and a half.
Mile and a half, Dana.
No, I don't think it's 2 miles.
She's got no car.
Well, my bike is a mile and a half.
Yeah, wheels make it go quicker. She has no car, and will often get a ride to church. She got a ride from my son this morning. Oh, to prayer, yes. Okay, my bad, yeah. Oh, to prayer, it even says right there, Joe, to prayer, right there. And when she can't get a ride, she walks. What's that take you, like 30 minutes?
It takes about, the shortest distance is 34 minutes, but it takes about 45 minutes.
Get to church, walking. And she'll be sweaty, or maybe glowing. Grabbing onto God is good, but grabbing onto God is costly.
That's right. Amen.
How much does your Christianity cost you? Because you got to grab on. Let's continue on. We okay? Mary's on the move. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. We can trust. And we can verify. See, God gives us something to grab onto. God gave something for Mary to grab onto. And I know you walk 45 minutes to church, Dana, but Mary would have had to put a trip of 7 to 10 days to get from Galilee to Judea. And she's, most people say, 16. You know, maybe like Ashley's age. And she's going to join a caravan. She's going to do all that stuff. But she's hustling. At that time, she hurried. I'm going. I'm grabbing on to the Lord, and it's going to cost me something, but I'm going to verify it. And you know what? Sometimes we hear that garbage like the God of Horus, or we hear some stuff, and we get a little shaky in our faith. We get a little shaky in our belief. And I want to let you know, when you get shaky, it's time to start digging. When you get shaky, it's time to do a little Google search or do a little exploration. Talk to Pastor Paul. He's real smart. Ask me some questions. I've been doing this for a while. We got some smart people around here. And if you're shaky and if you got issues going on in your life, find a true and solid foundation. Grabbing onto God is costly. And if your grip is weak because you haven't really figured everything out, you'll never hold on. You can check all this Jesus stuff out. And when it's true, and truth will always be able to withstand scrutiny. The message of Jesus is a solid rock, not a house of cards. And if you're standing on the rock, you can jump and you'll be just fine. Grabbing onto God is good, but grabbing onto God is costly. So you want to make sure that what you got is the real deal. And that's what Mary is doing. We'll end our time with this. Big old screen full of scripture. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth, two acts, okay? Baby jumps in her womb, and then she is filled with the Holy Spirit. You tracking with me? In a loud voice, she proclaimed,
"Blessed are you."
No, mention, "Blessed are you." It was big in a loud voice. "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her." And it's the Holy Spirit that brings a confirmation. The first confirmation that he gets or gives is to Elizabeth. The baby in her womb, right? And all the prophets we talked about last week would be what this baby in her womb would do for the coming Messiah. And so there's a confirmation for Elizabeth, and she goes, "Oh yeah." Because she grabbed on and she's paying the cost. She went into isolation for 5 months. Her life is turned sideways. And then she's got a message. The Holy Spirit comes upon her, and she brings this confirmation to Mary. "Blessed are you. You'll give birth to my Lord. You are the mother of the Messiah." And Mary is blessed, not because of who she is, but because of what she did. You have believed. You have grabbed on. You are willing to pay the price. Mary's blessed because she surrendered that most private part of her life and her body to God. And she and Elizabeth are in a mighty celebration. I mean, Elizabeth is blurting it out. "Blessed are you." And they got this celebration, two pregnant women, one a grandma's age, one a little girl's age, and God is doing, well, 16-year-old girl's name, age, and they are celebrating, and Zechariah's in the house silent. Because he still can't talk. He's the old priest, and God came near and he said, "I don't know." Catch that picture, because the Lord just gave me that picture this week. Zechariah. No mention of what he said, because he couldn't talk. Gabriel said, "Oh, you don't believe me? Let me help you." Grabbing onto God is good, but grabbing onto God is costly. At least you can come up here. Mary's grabbed on and is paying the price. Elizabeth grabbed on, paying the price. And our problem today in City Heights, in this church, in our culture, is we want to grab on, but we want to avoid the price. And you can't do it. Jesus says, you grab on, cost you everything you have. You will never be able to fit me into your life. You are not big enough. I am too big for you. But I have room for you. I will fit you in to what I have going on. I will strengthen you. I will equip you. I will guide you. I will transform you. I will direct you. It costs you everything you have. But it's nothing you could keep anyway, because it was already headed downstream. So you're here this morning. Have you grabbed on? You're here this morning. Things are good. My question is, how much does your Christianity cost you? You say everything, that's the price. Say, I'm ready to lay it all down. God can take my life, turn it upside down, fill it up, do anything he wants. That's what Mary said. I am his slave. And he can do anything he wants with me. What holds you back? We started our last series with the parable of the soils. And the Lord said, Jesus said, what's going to hold you back is the cares of life. All the stuff around you, you will grab onto before you grab onto me. He says, let it go, grab onto me, and we will head into eternity. Amen. Lord, we come before you this morning celebrating your birth, celebrating the fact that you came near, that we can grab onto you. And I thank you, Lord, that you come by City Heights this morning, that as we gathered two or three in your name, that you are right here in our midst, and you give us the opportunity to grab on. And I celebrate those of you that are here this morning, have grabbed on and are paying a great price. And sometimes our grip gets weak. We get our eyes off the prize, and we get distracted by the things of this world, and the enemy comes among us and starts spinning our heads and grabbing our necks and doing all kinds of things. We come into this house this morning. The Lord comes near. Comes to you this morning and says, grab on. It'll be good. It'll cost you everything. But I'm going to a good place. You're here this morning and you need to grab on. It takes effort. Mary moved, hurried to get down to Judah and check out the story about Elizabeth. It's going to require a movement on your behalf this morning. The Lord comes by, you need to grab on. He will reach out, a nail-pierced hand, and solidify that grip. But you got to reach out. He is here. He makes an offer. It is up to you this morning to respond. And you're here this morning, and you say, I really got to grab on. I got my life so twisted around. I'm so distracted about all the stuff I got going on. Lord, forgive me a sinner. I want to grab on this morning. Lord, I've been beat down by life. I'm just trying to get by. I've got my eyes off you. I need to grab on this morning, me a sinner. And say, Lord, I'm so weak. He said, I'm looking for the weak. I'm looking for the lost. I'm a redeemer. Here this morning, you need to be redeemed. Nobody looking around. Lord comes near. And you can reach out with your hand and grab on to the hem of his garment. That's you this morning. I just want you to just reach out your hand. Say, that is me this morning. Reach your hand out. Raise it up where you're at and say, I want to know the Lord this morning. Right back here, somebody else would say, that's me. I need to know the Lord. I want to reach out and grab his garment back here. Somebody else would say, that's me. I want to know the Lord this morning. I want to grab on. I want it to be good, and I'm willing to pay the price. One last moment. Anybody else? Right here. Praise the Lord. Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord. We came here this morning. You were already here. Came to City Heights this morning, you're already here. Came to City Heights 18 years ago, Lord, you're already here.